So, hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel. We have been told that we need to say something up top, informing listeners that this is a new episode, so... Okay. Oh, thanks to Skillshare for supporting Quick Question. Join the millions of students already learning on Skillshare today with a special offer just for my listeners. That's right, just mine, not Soren. So if you're listening to this podcast for Soren, this code will not work for you. But if you're one of my listeners, you get 2 months of Skillshare for free at Skillshare.com/QQ. Again, that's Skillshare.com/QQ. And again, if you only listen to this podcast by muting my voice and listening to Soren and you try to use the promo code Skillshare.com/QQ, your computer will melt from the inside.
All you Soricide Squad fans out there can go pound sand.
Sure. Quick Question is the advice podcast featuring two best friends and comedy writers. And if you're wondering why I used to say it was starring two best friends and have now downgraded it to featuring, it's because, in my opinion, the real star of the show, gotta be the fans. Anyway, I'm Daniel, and with me, as always, is Soren Bowie. Soren, what's up?
Hey.
That's
I'm just trying some new things out.
Okay. How do you feel about it? How do you think it went?
In the middle of it, I already didn't like it, but I committed and went through the whole thing,
right, so you're
paused to see if it worked for you, and it clearly did not.
Yeah, so you're saying, hey, to honor Bill Cosby?
Yeah, that's what and by the second hey, I was like, how do I know this? Oh, no.
That's right. Interesting choice. As always, we are Quick Question, and as even more always, you, our listeners, prefer to be called by your nickname, which is Hit It Bacon. What is it?
Celtic Pride, starring Damon Wayans Jr. Damon Wayans, not Jr.
We might have to start this whole episode from the beginning. Is that a correct impulse?
I really like it.
All right.
I like that because maybe it's because I just got to see Bacon freeze that it was such a treat for me. Celtic Pride.
Yeah.
Is that a movie?
It's Damon Wayans.
Celtic Pride.
Okay.
Yeah, Celtic Pride. It's Damon Wayans is a basketball player for the Celtics, and then Daniel Stern and who's the other fella? Is it Dan Aykroyd?
I think it is Dan Aykroyd. I don't remember. Daniel Stern's the one from Home Alone.
Yeah,
right?
Two people.
Yeah, that's all I remember.
Kidnap Damon Wayans to stop him from playing in this basketball game because they want the Celtics to win, and he is a Laker, I believe.
Yeah, Laker or Nick, I think. I think I've not seen the movie in 30 years.
you think a movie called Celtic Pride is about a basketball game between the Lakers and the Knicks?
No. I think he's on the Lakers or the Knicks, and he's playing the Celtics.
Okay, yeah.
But honestly, Dan, I have not seen the movie.
No, but you're right to assume it's that famous
years.
That famous franchise feud of the Celtics and the Knicks.
I love it. The first thing that came into Bacon's mind was not anything that begins with a Q or a C or that rhymes with question.
Hey, Celtic begins with a C.
But the soft C. And it was a movie from 25 years ago that no one knows.
Now, this was a great move by me. This is 3 good minutes of content.
Oh, it was really good. Just to be in your brain. I would love to be there.
We should probably get into this show. It's an advice podcast where we ask each other questions and get answers. Soren, do you want to go first or should I go first?
Yeah, I got a question for you.
Okay, sounds good.
So when I was a kid, right around like 9 or 10, I got obsessed with a celebrity. And it was like a platonic obsession. It was a male celebrity that I just sort of idolized and just picked up and decided I was going to idolize. Because I don't know, maybe I felt like that was something you were supposed to do. And I've since talked to other people. I have a friend, Ben, who's now a very successful producer, who said that, I went through that same thing. I really idolized Arnold Schwarzenegger, and I had posters of him all over my room. And this is like before T2 even. So he just picked this bodybuilder and was like, this is the guy. This is what I want to be.
Yeah, and the path to producer runs through being a bodybuilder.
That's true. And I picked Kirby Puckett, who played for the Minnesota Twins, was a kind way of putting it is he was portly and great hitter, but just kind of like a heavyset baseball player. He was very good, but I was obsessed and had Kirby Puckett posters all over my room. I had a bat signed by Kirby Puckett. I had framed photos of him, and I collected every Kirby Puckett card I could get my hands on.
He's a slugger, hey?
He is.
Yeah, that's his main thing?
Yeah, he's a big hitter. He's an outfielder who occasionally, a lot of times it looked like he was on roller skates, but occasionally he made some really great plays defensively, but mostly he was just known for his hitting.
Yeah.
And I was obsessed with Kirby Puckett in a way that, I don't know, like I look back and I wonder if my parents thought maybe it was unhealthy because there was nothing else in my room but Minnesota Twins stuff and Kirby Puckett stuff. And I didn't watch a single Twins game until they were, I guess in the World Series in 1987 I watched, but before that I didn't watch a single Twins game. I didn't know more than two other players on the Twins. I didn't care much about baseball at a professional level. I just liked this guy.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of kids have this. And I was wondering if you had somebody that you idolized when you were young.
I did. I think older than you. So less forgivable. But just real quick, you weren't like a Rockies fan growing up in Colorado?
So I'm old enough that they were an expansion team in 1991, meaning that I was a baseball fan. I was a Kirby Puckett fan before they were even an expansion
team. I see. Okay. I guess like a male celebrity, there's two and they're both embarrassing. One is Dave Matthews.
Hell yeah.
And one is Jeff Hardy from wrestling. Which would you like to hear about?
Well, I'm thinking. I'm a little thrown because I figured it would be Victor Wooten from Bela Fleck and the Flecktones. I think I want to hear the former.
So Dave Matthews really resonated with me, and I've distanced myself as I've gotten older because I feel like there's weird associations with Dave Matthews band culture. Like it's been appropriated by this aggressive frat boy culture that was like, oh, I'm not interested in being associated with that. But I genuinely loved his music for so much of my life. And even being like 12 years old and looking at him, I knew in my bones, I was like, I'm probably also going to be balding in a couple of years. And I like that this guy seems to be like balding and doughy, and he's got a weird voice and he's kind of a spaz, but he is somehow still sexy. That is interesting to me. That is a path that I hoped I would go down one day. And I was like, I'm never going to be conventionally hot. I'm never going to be cool, but Dave Matthews somehow makes all of his flaws work. And I hope to do similarly when I reach his age.
How did you feel about Phil Collins?
Sucked ass.
It's like basically the same trajectory.
No, the bass in Phil Collins sucks.
Okay. I was a big fan of Dave Matthews back in the day, and in fact learned a song by Dave Matthews is one of the first guitar songs I ever learned to impress a girl.
Which song?
And I learned Satellite.
Yeah.
That intro to Satellite.
Yeah, yeah. You fucking basic ass dork.
Yes, very much so. On every single level. I mean just as milquetoast as they come. And like I even ushered her over to the music room one day at school, and I was like, I learned to play this song for you. And she was like, you're not playing it quite right.
Yeah.
And to be fair, I wasn't. It's hard. But still, like, pretty low blow.
No, and I also, like, I called you a basic ass dork just now, and I apologize for that because I can't really come down too hard on you for that, because my version of that is bringing a high school girl into my attic and being like, do you want to hear the bass line to Ants Marching? Here it is.
Bow, 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 bow.
No, that's not the bass line.
Oh, be-do-do-do-do.
Yeah. I mean, closer.
It's the thing you don't even recognize in the song.
Right.
There's like, well, everything, all the bow, 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 bows are going on. There's some other little like fingering.
Right. And it was like, hey, Christina, come here. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do French me now because I did that?
Anyway, there's the Sublime poster on my ceiling. That's great, man. So what was your favorite Dave Matthews song?
Man, that's such a great question. I still think Ants Marching fucking slaps. Hold on, let me
and
let
I'm
me
basic.
Actually answer this.
Okay, let me see if I can guess what your favorite song was.
Oh, do it.
Let's see. Let me go through my vast knowledge of Dave Matthews. Oh, Warehouse. It's fucking Warehouse, isn't it?
No.
Oh, you don't even know that one.
No.
I think that's on Ants Marching.
It's not Ants. Nothing can be on Ants Marching. If anything, it would be
under
on
the table and dreaming. I don't fuck. All right.
It might actually be something off. If I'm being honest, it might be something off some devil.
Oh, I don't even know what that is.
That's his solo album that he like briefly stepped away from Dave Matthews Band and just did Dave Matthews stuff. I really like Grave Digger a whole lot. Oh, God,
you really did love him.
And you know what? Stay or Leave. Stay or Leave is the one.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That makes sense.
Does it?
Yeah.
All right.
That's like a kind of like a fun. Oh no, I'm thinking of Wasting Time.
Yeah. No.
Where he's like talking about licking sweat off a chick's chin. He's such a pervert.
Yeah. So many songs about like, I want to drink the sweat from like the opposite of your knee. That weird like cup that forms when you curl your knee back.
Yeah. I guess I understood that too, because when you're young, you don't know what sexuality is yet. Everyone does it behind closed doors. There's like a language to it and everything that you're not privy to. And when somebody opens the door to that, even regardless of what they're saying, you're writing that shit down because you're being like, this is all I've got to go on. And he was giving you that, like the hike up your skirt a little more. And you're just like, okay, I guess this is the language of romance. I'm going to try this.
Right. And coming up, when I was coming up, there was like, we had that, I'm a little bit younger than you, with the huge rise of boy bands of like the Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, 98 Degrees, O-Town world. And I was like, oh, I don't think I'm any of those fellas. And there's also like Cisco doing his thing and Eminem doing his thing. I'm like, nope, strikes two and three. And then I see, oh, people seem to be attracted to Dave Matthews and Ben Folds. So, oh, that's my lane. That's where I'm going to go. Those are the guys that I'm going to idolize, because like they seem to be romantic while also being white and soft, which is my whole vibe.
Yeah. Were you a big Nick Hornby fan when you were young?
Absolutely.
Okay. That tracks for me. Okay. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Great. So, you know, he's famous is Dave Matthews live at Red Rocks.
Yeah.
I had friends who were there, Dan.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I saw Dave Matthews and the band at the Central Park, the concert in Central Park. So, you know, they encored with Watchtower. So it's like, you know.
Was that the tour where they famously parked on a bridge and just dumped a bunch of shit into the river?
No, this was before that. They were dumping shit in different ways, but this was before the literal shit dump.
Okay. All right. You got any questions for me?
And Jeff Hardy was the other one, if you want that expanded at all.
Oh, wait. Oh, fuck. I totally forgot. So I don't give a shit about wrestling, but I think I'd like to hear this.
Oh, so the Hardy Boys, my brother David and I got into wrestling later than you should. Like, we were in high school, so we should have been over wrestling, but we got super into it. I think because like 1998, 1999 is like the Raw era of the WWF that was very exciting. And it was like a war between WCW and WWF. There's a lot of reasons to get into wrestling at the late 90s. It was peak wrestling. And we really, really got into the Hardy Boys because they were these high-flying brothers who never spoke and were just like the most physically impressive, lean panthers of wrestling. And we just glommed onto it. And Jeff Hardy was this guy, like I we've talked about this before, how I have no style, no discernible like look or vibe, but I have been always envious of people who had ostentatious style. And Jeff Hardy was this guy who wore like fishnet shirts and had nail polish and like brightly colored long hair and never said a word and was very good at his job of flipping in the ring. And I was like, that's so cool. I want to one day be a Hardy Boy with my brother.
I'm looking at pictures of him right now. This just looks like Big Boy and Andre 3000 as wrestlers.
The Hardy Boys?
One of them is like he's clearly the clean cut one. And then one of them just wearing a wetsuit sometimes. Sometimes he's got a mask on. His hair is two different colors.
They were
got some sheepskin pants on.
They looked different in the old days, I would say.
Okay.
But I was very jealous of his confidence to dress very ostentatiously and also be like clearly a physically impressive force.
That makes sense. That tracks. If you have like the skills, the chops to back it up when you are willing to go out there and be seen.
Yeah.
I get where that I know how to scratch that itch. Like I remember as a kid being like, you want that shortcut to being an interesting person. You want to like dress flashy, but then you need something to back it up with. And when you see somebody who's doing it that way, you're just like, fuck, how do I get those qualities? Oh, I have to work at them. Oh, quick. All right. All right. Let me think about this.
And I think my brother and I were somewhere between backyard wrestling and serious pursuit of being a wrestler. Like we both did engage in backyard wrestling shit. We would just like wrestle with our buddies and film it, and had a few semi-serious conversations, which was like, what if we just like actually really thought about this and tried to be professional wrestlers? Like that was a thing that I thought about for a couple of years of my life.
That's amazing. I think that trajectory is not that uncommon. I think that kids who end up being writers for TV or end up becoming comedians either wanted to be wrestlers when they were young or wanted to be magicians when they were young.
Yeah. And I wanted to be both.
They're kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
It's very presentational. It's about like just trying to make the world magic, or like you don't create a world that doesn't totally make sense for everybody around you.
Yeah. I'm all for this is a tangent, but I would just had my niece's birthday party, and I was there with my niece and my nephew, and it's shortly after Halloween, so I had a bunch of extra Kit Kats, and I decided to bring them with me and hide them throughout my person, like my coat and my pockets and stuff, and would occasionally sneak them into my nephew's hood, like the hood. He was wearing a hoodie. So I would sneak them into the back of the hood, or I would sneak them into his pocket or sneak them somewhere else, just so time would pass. And I'd be like, hey, Colin, check your hood, buddy. And be like, oh my God, there's a Kit Kat there. I did that for the entire night. And it was a whole night where he thought magic was real.
Yeah.
And I want, like, that's what I want my function to be as an uncle. It's just like, yeah, let the kids think that magic is real for as long as I possibly can. And let them wake up tomorrow questioning, where do those Kit Kat bars come from?
If I
can keep sneaking them in different places, then I've done my job.
That's the best part of being a parent, is that you get to leave the world as big as possible in their minds for a while. And so I will do magic for my son, magic that I learned when I was young and thought I was going to be a magician. And I'll do coin tricks for him. I'll do close-up magic, or I'll do card tricks. And he goes nuts. Like, it's so cool to him. And he's at the exact age where he can actually realize what's going on. And it's so much fun. And he sucks at like, he's so easy to misdirect him. And I would do the same thing while he's eating dinner. Like, I'll put a quarter into his shirt pocket. And then later he'll find it and be like, how? And then as he's looking at it, like, I'll slip another one into it, take that one from him, let it disappear, and then tell him to check his pocket again, and he'll do it. And it's just, it's amazing. It's the look on their faces is so funny.
Here's the thing I'm very curious about for when your daughter gets older, because when I'm doing with Colin, with the nephew, I'm sneaking chocolates into all of his pockets and his hood, and he believes it every time. And then I tried to do it with Charlotte, who is younger than him. And I was like, oh, Charlotte, where did that Kit Kat come from? She was like, I think you reached into that bag and put it in your pocket and then snuck it into my pocket. Shit. You got me.
I have no idea. I believe that girls mature a lot faster than boys.
Yes.
Well, Dan, I'd like to hear a question from you, but let's do it after the break.
Okay.
Quick Question is brought to you by Skillshare. Skillshare is an online learning community with thousands of amazing classes covering dozens of creative and entrepreneurial skills.
Okay.
They have thousands of classes in photography and creative writing to design, productivity, and more. Their classes are on demand, so you can learn at your own pace.
Whoa.
Get inspired? Yes. Get inspired. Join a class and create something you'll love. I've tried this, and I tried one now that I've moved recently. I tried one in interior design.
Uh-huh.
And I got to say, I love it.
Why?
I looked at a couple different ones. One of them gave me a quiz that taught me what type of interior design I most feel comfortable with and it most adhere to. And I learned that I'm into warm minimalism.
Wow. What does that mean?
It means I'm into a lot of straight lines, a lot of functional furniture and a very clean space. But I also have room in my repertoire and my arsenal for like some soft pillows and some fabrics that are a little more inviting, like a warm, thick quilt.
Cool. Lines and pillows.
What, have you taken any of these, Dan?
I did. I took a music theory comprehensive class about how to read music. And I actually really liked it. I minored in music in college because I wanted to get better at writing music. And my minor was very unhelpful. And this is infinitely one class from Skillshare. And music theory comprehension was better than my entire music minor. Because it came from a very real place of a guy, an instructor, Jason Allen, who really wanted to come from a place of composition and performance. So it was very helpful to me. Like I didn't want to get too bogged down in the background. I just wanted to learn how to write music for performance. And this helped me to do that.
That's great. Join the millions of students already learning.
Soren, okay. I know it's great.
Let me get through
Soren, I wouldn't have said it if I didn't think it was great.
That's great. Join the millions of students already learning on Skillshare.
I know.
And get 2 months free when you sign up at Skillshare.com/QQ. That's 2 months of unlimited access to thousands of classes for free. Go to Skillshare.com/QQ to sign up. That's Skillshare.com/QQ.
What a good break. Soren, quick question. What's a small change you've made in your adult life that has actually stuck? This is it's like a very small thing. I can give my answers before if that's helpful to you.
Yeah, go ahead.
This was maybe a year and a half ago because my mom and I, we talk on the phone once a week just to chat. And she mentioned a rule of hers, which is never leave for work in the morning with dirty dishes in the sink. And like, even if it's something simple, like a coffee cup, just don't do it. And I started doing that and it stuck. There are so few things that actually stick, like so few patterns that make their way into my rotation. And this one does. It's a good habit that now I swear by. It's the same as like a couple of years ago, I just decided the first thing I do when I'm going to wake up, no matter what's going on, I'm going to make my bed. And there are no excuses for not doing that. And then I do it, making my bed and getting dirty dishes and cups out of my sink are things that are part of my daily routine. And I'm so happy that they're there.
Because that's a good one.
I think as an adult, it's hard to get new things to stick.
Especially when you live alone.
Yes.
It's so easy to fall back into those patterns. You're not accountable to anybody but you.
Correct.
I'm proud of you, Dan.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. It sounds like a small feat, but I don't think it is. It's like I've tried to change things in my life at this age and it's just like, well, fuck it.
Right.
This isn't taking.
Right. Because for like over a decade, I could just let plates pile up in the sink before cleaning them. And it wasn't a problem because it's just me. And you cleaned plates when you ran out of plates and that was it. But I've learned from doing it that it's way better to come home to not a bunch of dirty plates in the sink.
It's really nice.
And like coming home to like when it's time to go to bed, especially because like I spend no time in my bedroom during the day. Like it's a sacred space. So going in there to just walking into a clean made bed is the best way to end your night.
It is.
Let's talk about that.
I'm not good at it. It's so selfish of me. I'm the last one to get out of bed in the morning. and I should be the one making the bed, and she's the first one to go to bed at night. So I should be making it for her, for my wife. Mm-hmm. And I just don't. And I know what it feels like to come and sit, get into crisp covers, crisply tucked in covers, and how nice it is to go and inviting it is to walk into a bedroom that has like a warm glowing lamp and a nice made bed and just slip in there. And I leave it in ruins for her. It's wrinkly, and the bottom, even the pad underneath has somehow folded over.
So she makes the bed every day, or do you just not have a made bed sometimes?
We just don't have a made bed. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to try. Okay. Starting today.
Okay.
I'm going to really make a concerted effort. We'll check in next time. I'm going to make a concerted effort to make the bed every single day and see if you can teach this old dog some new tricks. It's not even a trick. It's just really a simple mundane thing that I should be doing.
It's very mundane, but like it took me a very long time to get into it. And it's the two parts that I like about it is, one, having a purpose the second you wake up. And like, I need that more than you do, because you have a child, which probably requires some attention in the morning. But I liked to have, I'm awake. What is my purpose right now? Okay. Make the bed nice. Good. And that makes sure that the first thing you did when you woke up mattered. And I also like it for the last thing you see before you go to sleep. When I just like walk into my bedroom, it's like, oh good, this is a nice, peaceful, prepared place for me to go to sleep.
It does seem simple, but I see how it would change your entire mindset going to bed at night. You feel like less of a piece of shit to walk into a prepared room.
Yeah, absolutely. Like the times that I've slept and I've walked in and like the room has been messy, and it's like, oh fuck, come on, man. Come on, Past Daniel. I had a tough day, and now I gotta figure out the sheets. Come on, buddy.
Yeah.
Whose team are you on?
I did do one in my adult life that I'm proud of. I guess it was my early 20s. I just gave up beef. I stopped eating it. And it happened when there was this environmental club, and I was going to join it because there was a girl in the environmental club that I liked.
And what was her name?
Her name was Colleen.
Oh.
This is a story about my wife. I liked this girl and this woman. I liked this woman. And I joined this environmental club right around Arbor Day. And they were thinking about what to do for Arbor Day. And I was like, I'm going to...
I'm sorry, pre or post 9/11?
Post 9/11.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Okay.
So picture this, the towers are down, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now go all the way to California, and that's okay. Where we are. And so everyone else is reeling, but life goes on. And I decided, okay, for Arbor Day, I'm really going to impress her. I know these facts about deforestation in Central South America. I know that the majority of it, the slash and burn deforestation that happens in these countries is to produce beef. And a lot of that beef gets sent up to the United States for fast food. And I was like, I wonder if I could figure out, if everyone didn't eat beef for a day, how many trees hypothetically you would save from that. And I said,
yeah, I want to just say, like, you're not just impressing her. Our audience is fucking sopping right now. They're
slipping out of
their
chairs.
Sliding out of their goddamn chairs.
And so I was researching it and came up with, like, realized some really horrifying things about how much grain and water it takes to raise a single cow, how many resources it takes, and how they're one of the biggest animals that we eat, and just how much they consume in terms of food and just space on the earth. And then I learned that if everyone cut their beef intake to one half, then there'd be no more need for this. Everyone in America cut their beef intake to one half, there'd be no need for this deforestation in Central South America. I don't remember where that fact exists or if it's true, but it's a
Snapple cap.
That's where I did all my research. It took forever to find ones that weren't about butterflies or hummingbirds. And when I read that, I was like, what? I'll just stop eating beef altogether. How hard could that be? And I just did. And I'd eaten a lot. I would eat it all the time before that. I was way into fast food. I was the only type of cooking I knew how to do was grilling.
Yeah.
And I just gave it up.
it's difficult to difficult. It's difficult to be into fast food and not favor beef.
Absolutely. It's all built around beef. That's the star of fast food.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was, I don't remember it even being that complicated at first. I think I just was like, I'm going to do this and just did it. And looking back on it, I'm like, wow, Soren, well done.
Did you tell your parents, like when you went back to Colorado, did you tell parents where you were like, hey, I'm here for Christmas break. Please don't make beef based dishes.
Yeah. Anytime.
How do they feel?
Well, my mom had already started doing something similar to that. She was trying to be healthier, and I think she had started she would dabble in vegetarianism occasionally. So they were pretty accepting of the idea. And then when it'd show up on plates, occasionally we'd just go to dinner or we'd go to some friend's house and they'd be serving something with meat and I just push it aside and eat the rest of it. And occasionally if that was the star of the meal, then I would be polite and I would have a little bit. Yeah. But ultimately I don't eat beef and I haven't since then.
That's a pretty good answer.
I find that I get sick a lot less.
Really?
Yeah.
And you think it's beef related?
No, I have no idea. That's what I tell myself. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I found that I get colds a lot less than I used to.
Did you eat, were you like a big vegetable kid growing up?
No, I hated vegetables.
No, me neither. And I'm still not as an adult.
Yeah, I'm
starting
spinach,
to get worried about it.
I don't think it's something to be worried about. I think that I don't think it's just, I mean, you're an adult and you know that you're supposed to consume them. You're also at an age where you don't have to like it. You just do it and you get it out of the way. And that's fine. You can go on functioning that way forever. I've told you that when Colleen's not around at home, I don't make a salad for dinner. I've got no interest in like trying to dress up vegetation and then consume it. So I just first of all, I shut my blinds so that no one can see what I'm doing. And then I take whatever.
You blindfold your son as well.
I blindfold Ronan and I say, don't look at me. And then I open up whatever plastic container of rabbit food we've got. And I take a big handful, like enough that you would fill a salad bowl with, and I pack it down like a snowball in my hands as small as I can. And then I stuff the whole thing in my mouth and you'd be shocked at how it's like a snake unhinging its jaws, how much I can fit in my mouth. It's like a baby deer that I'm consuming. And I put all that in my mouth and chew it till it's gone. And then I'm allowed to have my meal after that.
A snake consuming a baby deer. Goodness gracious. That's also very, very similar to the Simpsons episode where Homer condensed a family amount of spaghetti into a bar, ate it, and then called the hospital.
That's right.
Soren, I know you like notoriously love fast food.
Yes.
So what are you doing at these places?
Oh man, I could go on and on. I'm like the menu items that I've found at every fast food restaurant have kept me in the business. I keep going. You name a single one and like I can tell you exactly what I get there.
Del Taco.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now they have Beyond Beef there, so it's hardly fair. Like you can get anything with that. But before that, I would get a big fat chicken taco. I would get a bean and cheese quesadilla. I'm bean and cheese burrito with red sauce, which is like their best thing on their menu. And occasionally I get a quesadilla as well. At Taco Bell, you can get a Mexican pizza without beef. It's banging. It's so good.
Wendy's.
Oh,
what do you get at Wendy's?
Yeah, spicy chicken, French fries, Dr. Pepper. See, at Del Taco, they don't have Dr. Pepper. You got to go with Mr. Pibb there. And Pibb Extra is a little sweeter, but sometimes it's a nice little treat.
I thought you liked Pibbs more than Dr. Pepper.
I think I've matured into a Dr. Pepper fan.
Oh.
Yeah.
I know for a fact that you're going to get fast food tonight you're already thinking about it. So what's on the docket?
Well, on my way home, I have to go buy a Jack in the Box, but I also go buy a Popeyes and I'm curious if they've got those sandwiches yet. Most likely I'll end up at Jack in the Box though. Oh, and like, so there's some places that beef is the only thing, like a Five Guys or a In-N-Out. And at those, I get a grilled cheese. And at In-N-Out, the grilled cheese is fire. It's, you get a grilled cheese animal style. So it's got grilled onions and cheese and lettuce and the sauce on it. And it's like you're eating a burger. It's great.
All right.
Hey, Dan, quick question.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Nobody has to spend more time with you than you. And when you have conversations with people, do you find that you are reliant on a conversation crutch? That can be like a single word that just gives you time to stall and think about what to say next. Or it can be something that you find yourself saying all the time and you kind of hate yourself for doing it, but you can't help yourself. I can go first if it
yeah, please go first, because I think I have a kind of twist on that answer.
Okay.
But go on.
I have two. When I try and talk about anything that's theoretical or hard I need time to think as I'm talking. I say essentially over and over and over again. I can't help myself. And it gets to the point where that's all I can concentrate on. And then I'm not thinking about the thing I need to be thinking very hard about. And so essentially just starts coming out more and more and more.
The word essentially, it's not like a topic that is a crutch. It's the word.
The word essentially, I need so badly. It's a long word. It gives me a lot of time to think. And it's the way that I use it, it's the same way as people use like.
Yeah.
Because it's approximately is how I'm using it. But it's a longer version of like. It sounds a little bit better than like, but I realized I was just substituting it because I worked very hard not to use like anymore and then realized I was just using essentially instead. And it drives me crazy.
I think I've used basically that same way.
Yeah. Basically is a killer.
But I think I misunderstood your question. I thought it was going to be something that like you're at a party and you're meeting strangers and what is a conversation topic?
Yeah, dude, this is yes. Back on. Both of these, because I have one for that as well.
Yeah, I don't have a specific topic, but I do something that I think I learned from you is just asking a series of questions until you find something, which is how I am at parties. I won't connect immediately to a person and being present in the moment. But I meet someone who's like, oh, this is Darren. I'm like, Darren, okay, where are you from? Pittsburgh? Okay, I don't know anything about Pittsburgh. What do you do? Coding? Okay, I don't know anything about coding. Where are you going for Christmas? Maui? Okay, good. I know Maui. Let's talk about Maui. Like you ask a certain amount of questions until you find something. Like I've lived a long enough life that I have conversation points for different answers for very basic questions.
Yeah, that was going to be mine. Yes.
That's what I rely on so much where like I was at a party a week ago and I was like, oh, you're a cop. Okay. Where are you from originally? You went there. Okay. Where'd you go to school? Colorado. Oh, Colorado. I know Colorado. Let's talk about Fort Collins, Colorado. And now I'm in the game because I've like found a piece that I can connect to.
I'm glad that you brought that up. That's something that I do. And I just did it the other day. I met your office mate for the first time and you teed me up so nicely with it. You're like, he also likes to climb. And I was like, yes, oh, there it is. That's the one. And then we can talk about that. But it always starts the exact same way. It's me trying to figure out a destination that we have in common. It doesn't have to be where they live. It's just like, if I know anywhere that you've been, we finally have something to talk about.
Yeah.
And I do it every single time. And it's so hollow because I do it every single time, but I can't help myself. As soon as I meet somebody, it's the first thing I'm like, instead of the quintessential conversation starter is how about them Cowboys? You don't ever start with a declarative sentence. Oh, well, I guess that's a question. Yeah. But like, it's still like you're leading the conversation. Instead, you can just be like, ask these very open, broad questions. And as soon as you can narrow in on something, you're just like, okay. All right, I'm locked in. And now this can be a tolerable interaction, which is like not the best way to go. That's like panic mode. That's going into any conversation with the idea of all I have to do is keep this thing from exploding.
Right.
And that's how I meet every single human in the world.
I remember I was at a party years ago with someone who was also in our vague industry of internet comedy, entertainment content. And, we'd met each other before and then we were at this other party. And as soon as I talked to him, I was like, oh yeah, yeah. So what are you working on now? What's going on with your website? And he was like, hey, let's not talk about work. Let's not talk about internet stuff, movie stuff. And you would never see me more panicked in my life. He was like, oh no, that's what I'm supposed to do with you.
Can we please?
I don't want to talk to you about anything else. This is like every conversation is just strategically deployed conversation navigation.
And I've been in situations where I'm talking to somebody. I'm like circling. I'm trying to find anything that we have in common. And when it's not working and it's clear that I'm asking too many questions, I'll just land on something and just start making stuff up about it. And just like the what limited knowledge I have, and then try and sound like I know what I'm talking about. As long as you have like, you know, the language of everything, you're okay, I think.
Yeah.
There's special words that are buzzwords of any field. And as long as you can land on one of those, people are like, oh, he knows his shit.
Do you remember your first conversations with Bacon?
Yes, I do. I remember exactly where we were.
Really?
Yeah. Bacon was somebody, I think you'd already started working with Cracked a little bit. And my first impression of you was like, oh, he's a bro. Like, he's got no interest in this, in Cracked.
Yeah.
He's a bro. And then I saw him at the gym, confirming again that he was a bro to me. But we recognized each other. And he was so warm and kind and like came up to me and he's like, hey, Soren, hey, I want to introduce myself. My name is Michael. And we talked for a little bit in the gym and he was very disarming in a way where I was like, oh, this guy's way more than a bro. And then, of course, find out later that he makes jams and then he sings a cappella and has 47 pictures of Captain America in his house for whatever reason.
Is that the right number, Bacon? Do you want to speak on that?
Yeah, but only three of them are framed.
I did some digging. Oh, do you remember when you first met Bacon?
I actually don't. I think I was probably antagonistic towards him because he was taking over for the person who had his job previously that became a very good friend of mine. Oh. And I like it was hard for me to accept a new business bro in this position. But then I later found out what a fucking dork he is. So we bonded over there.
Yeah. I would say that to qualify, when I thought he was a bro, I didn't think I want nothing to do with him. I thought he's too cool for us. I'm not going to bother him. I got to track down social media. And while I do that, I wanted to give you some time. I know one of the biggest causes that you champion is that a sweatshop is a derogatory term for what's ultimately a pretty self-empowering opportunity for kids. I wanted to give you the opportunity. You had some other ideas for what they should be called instead that were a little more flattering, and to just list a couple of those.
Yes, thank you. So I didn't want it to be called sweatshop anymore. I wanted it to have different names. Is that the premise of the thing that I said?
Yeah, something a little lighter.
Good. Yep. I mean, just off the top of the dome, this is like a first thought that probably you or anyone else listening had is get crops, which phonemically is similar, and it calls to mind harvesting good ideas and also good like wallets and dresses and whatnot. Like you're gonna get them, you know, you're gonna get crops. And another thing that I thought of was sweat stop.
Is that because there's sweat comma stop or sweat question mark?
Sweat question mark.
Okay.
Stop, because you're not going to sweat anymore after you put on these tops and these hats that we're making in this factory. It wicks the sweat off you. So like sweat stop. You know, and another one that I've been toying with is let's stop, which is like, just cool it. Don't investigate what's going on. Let's just, we're all so exhausted. We're all so busy. So like, let's just stop, you know, let's stop looking into things. Yeah.
I'm glad you clarified that it wasn't about let's stop this practice. It was let's stop into this.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Ronan Farrow did his investigation. That's enough investigations for the 2010s, I think. So let's stop. Let's just stop looking into stuff. We did it. We got it. So like, you know, find another hobby.
On Twitter, you can follow.
Find another hobby that isn't investigative journalism.
As a hobby. Okay. On Twitter, you can follow Daniel at DOB_Inc. for more insightful ideas like that. Soren at Soren_LTD. You can follow Michael at Make Me Bacon Please, spelled PLS. Or you can follow a quick question at QQ_Soren and Dan. You can email us at QQ with Soren and Daniel at gmail.com. Sure, Instagram at some point will be up and running, but I'm not going to give it
to you. Wet mop is another thing we can use to clean it up. Like a wet mop. Like that conjures to the mind cleanliness. Hey, right? So maybe we start calling it that.
Honestly,
maybe
that's another like, job
Nike,
too.
What are you doing with all your wet mops, Nike? You know?
And it's a whole nother job you just created with wet mop.
Yeah. Yep.
You can... Well, you know what? You're not going to be able to follow, find, or hire our producer and sound engineer and editor because he doesn't want to be known to this world. He's wearing a bandana right now over his face, so we don't even know his true identity. His name is Gabe, as far as we know. Or you can follow us on Patreon at patreon.com/, you motherfuckers. Quick question. That's all.
Sad flops. That's another one.
What do you think that means? It just rhymes?
You know, like, yeah.
Oh. Okay.
I mean, I guess if I had to put a name to it, Air Bud Golden Receiver. That's a sad flop. Because it didn't do as well as the first Air Bud.
These are all good points. Yeah.
It too.
Go on. You're not going to do Celtic Pride? Fine. I'll talk to you later.